topic is little boy, little girl grow up, right? And our first speaker is from the Baltimore area, right? And she will be sharing her experience on little girl grow up. I give y'all Erica B.
I'm an addict from Baltimore. My name is Erica.
Hey, Erica.
And I'm glad he cleared that up for me, because when I got the call, little girl, little boy, girl, I didn't know which one they wanted me to do. So now we clear that I'm a little girl grows up. Thank God for our clarity statement that y'all gotta love me regardless of my sexual preference. Thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't get here smiling. There was nothing fucking funny. I cuss. But it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to share my experience, my strengths, and my hopes anywhere. But I want to thank this region for asking me to come and share my experience, my strengths, and my hopes. Because I remember when nobody wanted to hear anything I had to say except I got half. So I am grateful to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I am grateful for sponsorship. I am grateful for a loving and caring God. I am grateful for my process. I'm not the person that came to the doors and stayed. I got here on May 26, 1996, and I'm going to take you on a little ride. I'm going to share with you my experience on how this little girl. I got here on May 26, 1996, and I weighed 89 pounds. That's 117. And like I weighed 89 pounds and I had on two pair of pants. I had on a pair of Russell sweatpants underneath a size 26 jeans. Now I share this every time I'm asked to share my experience because I need to remember where the fuck I came from. Because when I forgot where I came from, I look, they said doomed to repeat. So I got here weighing 89 pounds. He said, speaking to the mic, I ain't got no problem with that. I weighed 89 pounds, two pair of pants, Russell sweatpants underneath a size 26 jeans, and I had on a Coogi sweater. Like, that was kind of slick on May 26, 1996. But, like, it was like beige, gray, and cream when I put it on. But when I got here, it was black, blue, purple, and it kind of stuck to me. Like, I had real nappy hair by force, not choice. I had these dark circles around my eyes and my cheeks were sucked in and my collarbone set out to here and you could count my ribs. I had on gator boots. Coogi sweater and gator boots. But, see, I got to tell a whole story. Like when you rip and run up and down Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore, rain, snow, sleet, hail, trying to get one more by any means necessary, like gator starts to peel. So when I got here, they was half gator and half suede. I'm a little bow-legged, but my boots was leaning real bad. I need you to understand where I came from. Because as I talk about where I am and the journey that it took to get there, it may sound to some haters that I'm bragging. But it's my responsibility to report the goodness of God and all that he has done for me because I work a program. Look, I got a sponsor. I thank God for sponsorship because this is a 12-step program. I work the motherfucking 12 steps. I'm in a process of becoming a better person. And let me tell you that, like, I ain't come here wanting that. That's some punk ass, a better person. I came here to stop getting high. I ain't want to smell like that no more. I ain't want to look like that no more. I ain't want to feel like that no more. I ain't come here to learn how to live. I came here to stop smoking crack, filling the blanks, dope fiend, alcoholic, pill popper, weed smoker. I came here to stop using. I ain't want to be no mommy. I ain't want to be employable. I ain't want to be no homeowner. I ain't want to send nobody to private fucking school. I ain't want to go to PTA meetings. I ain't want to get up early on Saturday and take a motherfucker to ballet and piano lessons. I ain't going to church. I don't want to smoke no more. So I set my dusty ass down. But it took a while for me to be able to call myself that because, like, it looked denial. You know, because every time I took my 89 pounds past a car window and saw my reflection, I was fat to death and cute as a motherfucker. And something was wrong with y'all. They hating on me. They jealous. Them bitches. I look like JJ from Good Time. But y'all was hating on me. So like it's some stuff, right? Like it's a program. In this convention, look. Little girl grows up. We feel that our lives have become worthwhile. Spiritually refreshed. We are glad to be alive. We are glad to be alive. I remember taking a hit and knowing it was my last hit. It was my last hit. I was dying. And then I laid on my bed. And my prayer was, God, just don't let my kids find me. Oh, no. Yeah, I ain't stop. When we were using, our lives became an exercise in survival. Now we are doing much more living than surviving. The theme of this convention, realizing that the bottom line is staying clean, we can enjoy life. We like being clean and enjoy carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. So don't look. That motherfucker sharing again, Erica sharing again, then ask Erica to share again, then ask Erica to share again. My prayer before I open my mouth at any meeting, speaker's jam, marathon, convention, main speaker, workshop, wherever y'all ask me to share, is God minimize me. Maximize you. So the people will hear the you in me and not the me in me, because I've been here before. I done shared all over the place with a whole bunch of CDs and stuff every goddamn way and used. And look, I need to pray for God to remove my pride and my ego, because I don't know what your story is, but my story is. Like, when I get asked to share too damn much, too many goddamn places all over the place, Like, I wait for a red carpet to roll down that motherfucking aisle. Yeah, and the helicopter to come pick me up from my hotel suite. That's how it used to be. That's before I started praying, God, minimize me. This ain't about me. My prayer is, God, minimize me, maximize you, so they can hear the you in me and not the me in me. My prayer is, God, that your will be done. That, like, everybody in the room get a message of recovery. And if it's not your will to help everybody in the room, God, person. God, if it's not your will to help one person, God, I thank you for helping me. Watch him work. Ain't about me. God, she's sharing again. Yup. So we got to talk about this little girl, right? Because I got here grown. So don't ask me to do no little girl grows up. I got here grown. Big and bad enough to do whatever I wanted to do. I got here grown. I've been grown since I was 15 years old. When I had my baby, I told my mother I was grown. So we got to talk about the little girl. And we got to talk about, like, the seeds that was planted in this little girl. Because I'm not the addict that says that I earned my seat here. I ain't never heard of here. Ain't nobody come to the corner and tell me, let's go to an N.A. meeting. I ain't never heard of N.A. People died or they went to jail. Nobody told me I never had to use again. I earned my seat. God, through his grace and his mercy, for whatever reason he saw fit. Because there was a dope fiend sitting next to me that was worse than me. I don't know how you got high. I got high comparing myself next to the motherfucker next to me. As soon as I get that bad, I'm going to stop getting high. Then I got that bad, and I found somebody else. Then I got that bad, and I found, I told myself, look, I said one time, as soon as I start getting my nails done, I know I'm getting high too much. I looked down, my cuticles was bleeding. So this little girl, like I'm the oldest of six. I ain't but 117 pounds. I'm 40 years old and I'm the size of a 12-year-old boy. And I'm the dom in the relationship. I got like little man complex. I'm 5'3½", she 5'9". Y'all talking about who was who? So this little girl, I'm the oldest of six, and I've always sought approval. It's five people under me. They get the attention. So I'm always going to be louder. I'm always going to be sharper. I'm always going to be brighter. I'm always going to drive a big car, live in a big house, wear fancy fucking clothes. And look, I'm always going to be seen or heard because I ain't never get the attention. I'm talking about seeds planted. I'm the product of a married man. Yeah. I ain't never been good enough. Yeah, she got pregnant on purpose. That ain't my business, ma. Why are you telling me that you got pregnant on purpose to keep this motherfucker? It didn't work, so that's my fault. So I ain't never been good enough. I'm talking about the seeds planted in a little girl. I'm talking about you better than them kids. Don't you switch lunches with them because their mothers get food stamps. I've always been better than y'all. I'm talking about like keep the look, don't sit on the steps without a pillow. I wanted to sit on the ground with y'all. I wanted to play checks. I wanted to make fucking mud pies and shit. I wanted to play Skelly. Y'all had black shit up under y'all nails. Talking about this disease, don't give a fuck where you come from. We all just want to fit in. Well, I want to fit in. I want to be accepted. I want somebody to love me. So we're talking about the seeds. Like, so in the third grade, Crystal, third grade, I'm 40 years old. Why the fuck do I remember Crystal's name? planted a seed. Crystal pulled a staple out of my collar. And she said, Erica, get her clothes from the thrift store. Today I know that bitch knew that because the fuck she must have got her shit from the thrift store. Tell you like who I was before Crystal pulled the staple out of my collar. I was happy. Yeah. I was happy when my mother grabbed me and my brother was taking us to the thrift store. Man, we was happy like fucking Disneyland happy. We was going to the thrift store. Because we was going to get some new clothes. And Crystal robbed me. And I made a decision in the third grade that my kids gonna have the best of everything. I'm talking about 8 years old making a decision to give my kids every material thing. Not understanding that when my mother was taking us to the thrift store, she was giving us security, that she was paying the bills, she was keeping a roof over our heads, she was making sure we had food on the table, she made sure we went to school every day. Those are the areas where I failed. They look good with the gas and electric off, crackhead. They look good. Hungry, because I told him I'd be right back. I ain't come here for this shit. Ooh. Our growing awareness of our defects often causes us pain. We've all heard the expression, ignorance is bliss, but we are no longer ignorant to our character defects, and this awareness hurts. All of a sudden, we'll notice a wounded look in the eyes of a friend after we acted on one of our less endearing traits. We'll hang our heads in shame, mumble an apology, and probably beat ourselves inwardly for being so callous one more time. We feel sick inside, knowing how our actions adversely affect the people in our lives. We are sick and tired of being the people we have been. But this feeling compels us to change and grow. We want to be different than we have been in the past. And the good news, is that we already are. Being able to see beyond our own interests and being concerned about the feelings of others are striking changes, considering that our raging self-obsession is at the core of our disease. All I ever cared about was me. There was a motive behind every decision I made. I needed to be able to see, feel, smell, taste, whatever the outcome of what the fuck I was going to do for you was going to do for me. There was never, ever a selfless ideation in my brain. I was incapable of thinking, acting, behaving, doing anything that wasn't for my best interest, even when I didn't know what my best interest was. So I'm talking about like a little girl growing up through the process of the steps. I'm talking about I look like a thorough fourth step. And I'm talking about a fifth step that I went into in stilettos. They said do a thorough. I went in my fifth in stilettos and came out in Timberlands. Found out who the fuck I really was. This little girl found out that all that makeup and all that fake hair and that push, I ain't got no titties. Look, they was pushed up. I was made up, hyped up, switching around this motherfucker like a peacock with my matching pocketbook and pumps. That was a uniform. I learned early on I had to use what I had to get what I want. I like girls. I don't like, look. Whatever keeps you clean, big dicks keep me clean, because crack say suck that dick. I'll pass. Thank you. thank you. So I throw fifth step, and in my fifth step, me, my sponsor, we've invited God in. And we're talking about the exact nature, and we're talking about my patterns and my behaviors, and we in relationships. And in this fifth step process, we find out that I got a fear of vulnerability. I told you I'm the product of a married man. I got major abandonment issues. I got major insecurities. I ain't never been good enough. But the fifth step say I can appear strong and confident, but I'm really a shaky, insecure. Look! I know how to look good, sound good, smell good. But who are you for real? So like the step working processes taught me who I am for real. And through my patterns and my behaviors, I find out that I get the fuck out as soon as they find out who I am for real. Thank you, Michelle. Because through coming around here in this process of recovery, like we hear stuff and it sounds slick, so we start mimicking stuff. And we talk about the representative all the time. And like we talk about the representative show up. And I found out through, thank you, Michelle, that like my representative don't show up. The real me shows up. The real me shows up. The real me is loving and caring and sensitive and empathetic. Man, I'm compassionate. I'm so sweet. Until I feel like I need to defend myself. Then my representative shows up. Because my representative has to protect the little girl. So then I become arrogant and judgmental and critical, better than you. Because as long as I can point out your character defects and what's wrong with you, we ain't looking at me. So in this fear of vulnerability, fifth step stuff, I also find out like I'm codependent, that faggy-ass, punk-ass, codependent word. Codependent, not me. Yeah, you. Yeah, nah, you know, there's that needy, clingy codependent. And then there's that need to be needed codependent. I used to work. I used to prey on needy people. Yeah, I kept finding myself in relationships that didn't go, how the fuck I end up here again? How the hell I end up here again? Oh my God, I've done this again. Different relationships, same results, common denominator, you. Talking about all of them was crazy. So in finding out that I prey on needy people, why, exact nature, get to the exact nature, why you keep finding yourself with science projects? I'm talking about the little girl growing up, like, why you keep finding the need to say she cute butt? Why you keep finding the need to say, like as soon as I teach her how to dress, yeah, as soon as I take her to the mall, as soon as I get her hair done different, as soon as I teach her how to speak proper fucking English, as soon as I get her to stop talking all that N.A. lingo when we out in public, we will be fine. If stop. Sixth step. I go in there with 9 character defects. I don't know how many y'all had. I had 9. There's only 9 things wrong with me. And come on, sponsor, we got to hurry up and address these 9 things so I can float the fuck up out of here. So she go back through my 4th and my 5th. And she pull out the other 30. So I got 39 character defects. So I need to share with you, like, I'm being given a list. voices were in your life that said, oh my God, that is me. And I gotta change. Because I don't want to be her no more. I don't want to be her no more. I don't want to look like, smell like. I'm talking about clean. Like I want my will lined up with the will of my God. So like I was stripped of everything that I thought I was. But they were the things that I was using to protect the little girl. Because if you looked like you was thinking about leaving me, I got abandonment issues. If you look like you thinking about leaving me. Yeah, I be sharing, letting go with claw marks. So we do the work and like, so here, we today. Little girl grows up, so today, a couple of weeks ago, like I think he put me and Sherman in every state we get to, me and Sherman. I love you, Sherman, but goddamn, Sherman. And my son had got shot on Wednesday, and I was supposed to be in Ohio at the convention. And my son got shot Wednesday. I got fired Friday. My girlfriend broke up with me Saturday. Y'all got some tapes. Y'all got some CDs. If you have 10 Erica A. from Baltimore CDs, 5 of them say we not together, and 5 of them say we back together. Today, our 3-year anniversary, we together, buy that CD. And I take full responsibility for the part that I play in. I'd have left my ass a long time ago, and I would have never came back. But she got patience, tolerance. She got a God working in her that tells her that, look, the same process that worked for her will one day work for me. And she hold on, come hell or high water, with a sick, sick, sick person trying to get better. So she leave me on Saturday. My daughter make a decision that she, look, my baby make a decision that she want to move out and take my only grandbaby with her. My son got shot. I got fired. My girlfriend left me. My baby's leaving me. I ain't got no job. I got $3,000 worth of bills. Don't hate on that motherfucking Mercedes out there. That motherfucker come with a note. Don't hate on the house. It comes with a mortgage. Don't hate on private school. It comes with tuition. Too much is given. Much is required. My prayer is, God, give me what I need, what I can handle, and I will give you the glory. This ain't got nothing to do with me. So I got like 10 major things happening in my life in 10 days. This book say come hell or high water. Like I said, little girl, grow up. So it's like, so why, God? So I like the 10th thing that happened is like I take my son to parole and probation, and he said, Mommy, I'm going to be 10 minutes. I go in here and I pee, and I'll be right back. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I get a phone call from the police that said, Ma'am, you can leave. We've arrested him. My son got shot. He still got bullets in him. I lost my job. My girl gone. My baby gone. The grandbaby gone. I'm by myself. Y'all say it's going to come a time when it ain't nobody but you and the God of understanding, right? Y'all say grow or go. So like I ain't going nowhere. And like my son got locked up, and I text my sponsor, my pastor, and somebody else that I talk to feed my spirit. And I said, I can't take no more. I said, I can't take no more. What is God doing to me? And I got home. You know, our breakups last about 2 or 3 days, so we were back together. And we were sitting in the living room, and the baby was on the floor watching TV, and it was quiet. And God said, "You've been praying for peace." You've been praying for peace. When I said, "God, help me," and the police showed up, when I said, "God, help me," and my manageability with my finances, and I was driving a big Mercedes and my gas and electric was turned off, I learned manageability. So I got some peace. And I lost my job and I started my own business. Like in 2 days. So the quality of my life has changed. I'm not talking about stuff. Stuff is nice, it's wonderful. It's really nice to drive a Mercedes. However, it don't give me peace of mind. Let me tell you that everything that I had been stripped from in those 10 days were all of the things that I used to validate who I was. I'm a good mommy, see? I'm a good grandmommy, see? I got a good job, see? Look at my car, see? Everything that I used to hide that little girl behind, God said, "Gotta go." So I stand here today with my pants hanging off. I could have wore some fly ass shit. But I got some fly ass shit. I got this like I don't know what kind of relationship you have with the God of your understanding. But he loves me so much that when he's not getting all of me, he will make a way to get my full attention. Man, being in the midst of a storm, like being in the midst of all of that shit going on, I was saying stuff like, "God got something great for me on the other side." We didn't think like that before we got here. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for the process of recovery. Thank God that that little girl that came here with all them seeds planted was given through God's grace and mercy the opportunity to grow up. Thanks for allowing me to share.
If you leave, please leave quietly. Here to share his experience on little boy grow up, my man Sherman. Yeah. I'll give him a screen.
I'm gonna ignite Sherman.
Hey, Sherman.
First and foremost, I just want to say, God, grant me knowledge that I may speak according to your divine precepts. Instill in me a sense of your purpose. Make me a servant of your will. And grant me a bond of selflessness that the work that I do and the words that I speak may truly be yours and not mine, in order that no addict, anywhere need die need ever die from the horrors of addiction. No, I woke up this morning because I take this very seriously. And I had to like tap into my 11th step. And what I do is I go jogging before I can clear my mind and let God come into my conscience and just reflect. And you know, this morning I got to think about my grandmother. You know, when everybody kicked me to the curb, my grandmother never gave up on me. I did a lot of horrible things to my grandmother. I can remember my grandfather dying and my aunts told my grandmother that she had to sell her house because she was there by herself and I was in jail. And I remember my grandmother telling them when I called home from jail that she wasn't going nowhere because that boy was going to need somewhere to go when he came home. And I jogged this morning and I thought about my grandmother. I had one of them praying grandmamas. You know, because what I'm talking about, you know, when you talk about the little boy growing up, I don't know about nobody else in here. All my life, all I ever wanted to do was be loved. That's all I wanted all my life. And my grandmother would love me unconditionally. And I just got to jogging this morning, and I just got to crying thinking about my grandmother. But, you know, in dealing with this topic, I also thought about this morning, Shirley. You know, I experienced a lot of pain in life. Because the liturgy say we share our experience, our strength, and our hope instead of preaching and judging. And if sharing the experience of our pain helped just one person, it was worth the suffering. And I thought about the pain this morning, and I thought about, I experienced a lot of pain in life, but I ain't experienced no pain like running out. And I say that because I hear a lot of y'all say it's not about the drug no more. Well, I just want to tell my story. I don't never, ever, ever want to wake up ill again. I don't never, ever, ever want to wake up ill. Spitting up, wondering where I'm going to give me a shot of dope at. I don't never want to wake up ill again. I thank God I don't shoot dope no more. You know, Erica, because I just remember you're talking about the little boy. I just remember at some point in this process, I just remember like just hating God. I mean, I remember like when I was that happy little boy. Because the third just say, in order for the new member to feel as though they belong, they need to hear something that they can identify with. And I can like remember like Erica being that happy little boy. You know, like when it rained and the thunderstorm and you in the house, Veronica, with grandma, and it's thunderstorming and you gotta turn off all the lights and you can't talk, right? And grandma said that's God talking. Right? And you in there, you in fear, and you're a little boy, you're a happy little boy, you can't wait to go outside to play, right? And I always had my popsicle sticks with me. Because as soon as the rain would stop, Carl, me and all my friends would rush outside and race our popsicle sticks in the rain, in the water. I'm talking about being that happy little boy. I'm talking about being that happy little boy, you know, those little yellow things. You know that happy little boy? We used to pick them up and we squeeze our chin and, you know, say, we're going to have a boy and you're going to have a girl. Because somewhere that happy little boy got fucked up, but I want to, like, just go to the happy little boy right now. And I, like, remember, like, believing in Santa Claus? You know, I used to like those little electric football sets. Now I could paint the Jets, and I could paint the Buffalo Bills. I remember painting OJ. And I remember, like, those racing car sets, the little plastic ones. That's when I stopped believing in Santa Claus, because I used to do a lot of shit. And my mother always tell me, go find a belt. And I would hire all the belts. And she would grab that racing car shit, that plastic shit. So at this time, I knew it wasn't no motherfucking Santa Claus. You know, so I remember, like, being that happy little boy, you know, and then something along the way, Erica, something happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. Something fucking happened. Oh, I know what happened. See, the literature tells me what happened. You know what I'm saying? The literature tells me what happened, because I'm talking about, like, my father was a dope fiend. And I had this love-hate relationship with my father. And I ain't never want to be like my father. I didn't like the way he would treat my mother. I remember Christmas will come, and they'll get in a fight, and he'll throw the Christmas tree at her. So I was happy when his ass went to jail. But I remember my mother, somewhere around 12 and 13 years old, I remember my mother getting remarried and moving to California. And Erica, at this point, I hated God. I hated God. God, because it was always about God. Why would you remove, why would you allow my father to be a dope fiend, and you would allow my mother to get remarried and move? So I hated God. It was always personal with me and God. So I started out on this path. I was a happy little boy. I started out on this path, and then people in my community and people in my family start asking me a lot of dumbass questions, Veronica. They kept asking me questions like, boy, what is wrong with you? They kept asking me questions like, when are you going to get yourself together? But I didn't know what was wrong with me. It talks about it in the literature when you are untreated and an undiagnosed addict. So I go off on this path, man. I'll never want to forget my story. I go off on this path. In the end of my addiction, I was living in a rooming house on 49th and Nettin Helen Burns. I looked like death. picture, Dawn of the Dead. They ain't even had to put the motherfucking makeup on me. I was already dressed for the part. I look like death. I smell like death. I'm HIV positive, and I had open wounds all over my body. And 9 times out of 10, these wounds had maggots. Because they got a motherfucking high works in the street. The old timers and the predecessors in the streets, when you had all those abscesses, all those open wounds, because you gotta have a lot of pain to get in that state in you. And they told me, Sherman, let flies blow on your wounds. And I would let flies blow on my wounds, and I would put the bandages on them, and I'd take the bandages off 3 days later, and I have a million maggots around my legs. And God got a funny sense of humor. God kept waking me the fuck up. God kept waking me up. God, why you keep waking me up? My bottom wasn't being HIV positive. My bottom wasn't the maggots. My bottom was God kept waking me up. I'm talking about I want to die, but I can't die. I don't know the full fruit of the labor of love lives in the harvest, and that always comes in its right season. I don't know that shit now. I don't know he even using me in my active addiction. How I know it? Because people see me now and they say, damn, I know it's a God. I went down on the script, Erica, the same script that I used to get high on, that I used to shoot dope in the creek in my neck. A dude came out of a nod. He was in one of them Rip Van Winkle motherfucking nods. He came out of a nod and saw me and said, damn, I know it's some hope for me now. But I want to stop and I can't stop. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I got a desire in my heart to want to stop. Erica, I always tell people when you pray and you ask God for help, you can't pick and choose where the help come from when God send the help. If you are in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, what you need to know, that God has answered your prayer. And send the help that you asked for, because all I ever wanted to do was stop. That's all I ever wanted to do. Then you got all these sick ass people in here. You start coming out of the literature. They got a problem with the literature. But I'm talking about what stopped me, Veronica. What stopped me, Carl? It's that many books. Come on, Carl. Many books. I ain't know what was wrong with me. Many, many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book, primarily concerns itself with the nature of recovery. If you are an addict and have found this book, please give yourself a break and read it. That's
answer. I didn't know what was wrong, baby. I didn't know what was wrong with the little boy. I didn't know that I suffered from a disease that was worse than HIV and cancer. I didn't know, baby. I read it and said, come on. Based on what? Based on who? Based on our experiences. What do we believe? You got a problem with the literature? Get the fuck out of here. You're in the wrong workshop. We believe that every addict, I'm talking about my story, every addict, including the potential addict, suffer from an incurable disease of body, mind, and spirit. We were caught up in what, Sherman? Caught up in the grip. Hold up. Grip. Grip means siege. Am I the only one here ever been seized by something? Caught up in the grip of a hopeless dilemma. Now, Veronica, it's bad enough being in a dilemma, but a hopeless dilemma? I'm talking about what saved my life. I'm talking about what helped the little boy grow up. I'm only sharing my story. I'm talking about what helped me, what helped that little boy grow up. I'm not going to let nobody take that from me. No, all I ever wanted to do was stop. You ain't going to beat me up about something to help stop me. No. The solution. Hold up. This, we so fucked up. They put the solution in the beginning of the book. Put it in the beginning of the book. Sherman, the solution. Come on, Sherman. You never, your third step tells you the reason why you always hated God, and then your fourth step, because you was always emotionally dependent on the wrong thing to carry you through. You never cut the biblical cord. Earth, come on, Earth, you found out all your life you had one dilemma. The little dilemma was you always kept misplacing your faith.
Watch it, boy. Watch it, man. Watch it, man.
So the solution is not, Earth, the solution is not the woman.
Watch it, man.
Hold up, they put this shit in the beginning. The solution is not the man. The solution is not the cop. The solution is not the house. The solution is not social acceptability. The solution is spiritual. The solution is spiritual. The solution is spiritual in nature. God, please don't let me fill the void with the wrong thing. I be like, Veronica, I'm glad you're there because I'm focusing on you. I be like, people like Sherman, God ain't in the first step. Hold up, Winnie. The second tradition say this is a God-given program. How the fuck can he not be in the first step? Come on, talk to me. I hear y'all. Come on. How can he not be? So, Erica, it's back to this God thing again, Erica, because I had to ask myself a question, Erica. The question I had to ask myself is, Sherman, what happened in your life when you thought God woke you up, went on vacation, and left your greasy ass in charge?
Yeah.
Come on, Harold, you gotta fit the literature. The literature say most of us do not have to think twice about what happens. We know. Just talking about me. Anybody can identify. Talking about me, man. My whole life and thinking became centered. Self-centeredness means, real simple, that Sherman, when you total self-centered, there's no room for God. I'm God. Ain't no room for God. And my ends was always the same. My ends was always the same. Jails, institutions, and in the end, I walked around spiritually dead. I want to die, but he just wouldn't let me die. God, why you keep waking me up? Why, God, why you keep waking me up? I hate you. Why you keep waking me up? I wake up in the morning. As soon as God wake me up in the morning, I will curse God out. Why, God? Why you wake me up? I will cuss God out. I will cuss the daybreak out. And y'all know. And y'all know what those motherfucking birds. I know what those birds had coming. But the best part about the little boy grow up is when you go through the step process, you now find out why the birds sing. You now know that they can always hear the whisper that you couldn't hear. So why? So, Eric, I came in here wounded. I came in here broken. I came in here a little boy, and I was scared. Eric, I'm telling you, Eric, my flight in recovery has not been clean. I mean, that has been all great, grand, and groovy. I've been having to fight for this thing because when you get some information about this disease, you become a threat to the disease. So I've been coming in here. I've been crawling and scratching for my recovery. They tell you, the people from my earth, they tell you, no, the same God had grace and mercy on you, had grace and mercy on me. Don't fucking talk to me like that. That's why I wanted to get clean. That's why the fuck I wanted to get clean. Because I got tired of people talking to me like that. I'll be damned if I'm going to let y'all talk to me like that. Fuck that shit. So they kept talking about what's wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Can't you just see I came out of a nod like Rip Van Winkle? And I woke up 20 years later and everything had changed. Do you understand? The nightmare never happened while I was sleeping. The nightmare always happened when I woke up. All my life, all the little boy ever wanted to do was be loved. Love me. Love me, Shirley. What you mean, sit down, shut the fuck up, and you ain't got nothing to share about? That is a lie. What you mean, I ain't got nothing to share about? I can't shoot no dope, and I ain't got nothing to share about? Is you crazy? Somebody say, I'm going to email you. What the fuck is an email? God kept coming. I never had an opportunity to meet the brother, but from being with Irk, Irk had to praise everybody tape, and he taped a tape with Carlise one day, and Carlise said, when you think about what's going to run you out of these rooms, I suggest what you think about what ran you in. No, Irk, I ain't going back to that. No, oh, hell no. Not that, no, I ain't going back to that, Irk. So I shared and I talked about Sherman. Here's the Hope Shack. I talked about Sherman. Second step, the most greatest form of insanity is the obsession to use. Third, to just say the real miracle will happen. The real miracle will happen. They told me, Erica, I shared. They told me, like, I shared about how the woman, she ain't want me no more. The books say simplicity is the key. The 12 steps say an honest, simple message of recovery rings true. They say, man, don't get high and keep coming back. I shared about being HIV positive. They say, don't shoot no crack cocaine and vinegar in your groin and keep coming back. I shared about how I ain't had nowhere to go when I leave the halfway house. They told me, Erica, don't smoke no love boat and keep coming back. Second step say the most greatest form of insanity is the obsession to use. Well, I want to add another hit to that. The most obvious way to know that God is working in your life is when he removed the obsession to use. What I'm talking about, Antoinette, is God don't bless me with nothing else in life, Harold. The blessing have already happened. So I just kept coming. It was people in here that was loving me. They was help building up. I'm nothing without y'all. The biggest lie that I could tell myself in this process is that I can do this thing by myself. They told me don't get high and keep coming. I was always shirring, faux teeth. Somebody say, man, won't you go get some teeth? I went and got a set. Come on, Erica. I'm talking about, man, because in order for the little boy to grow up, you got to build that self-esteem. I was doing bandage chains for 9 years. All my wounds, I'm talking about the wounds that the maggots was coming out of. All my wounds are closed up. All I ever wanted to do was just go swimming. I dropped out in the 12th grade. I went back to school. I got my high school diploma. I went on, Erica, I did the CAC Certified Addiction Counselor's piece. Never even used it, because God say the goal got to be bigger than that. So today I'm in a bachelor's program, University of District of Columbia, getting my bachelor's degree in psychology. 3.5 grade average. 70 credits. You understand, Erica? I'm talking about recovery is not a spectator sport. I got to participate in my recovery. So I participate. Never had my name on a lease. Never. Got my own place. I pay rent today. You understand, Erica? I'm talking about growing up. I'm talking about it ain't always easy, but years and years and years and years and years and years and years of self-centeredness can't be reversed overnight. It's a process. So I stay in the process, Erk, and I just keep coming. I love this program.
This program has saved my life. Erica, I'm in UDC. This fucked me up. Last weekend, right, they voted me at UDC, right, student president. Hold up. This the guy that used to shit in one corner. Shit in one corner. Sleep in the other corner. Got a hit last, well, I ain't had no more veins, so I had the skin pop. Woke up in the morning, looked through the shit in the dock, in the band of minimum, for my works, to go down Central Avenue with my wound showing, with the maggots coming out, hoping somebody feels sorry for me and give me a shot of dope. They voted me class president, well, I mean, student president for the disability department at my university. Right? Okay. Man, it get better, right? I'm saying, so I'm up there last week, right? I'm telling Thomas, hold up, what God is, why is I'm here? Why is I'm here, Veronica? Why the fuck is I'm here? I'm up Syracuse University, right? Hold up, they fly me in like I'm Obama or some motherfucking body. Put me up in the hotel. I ain't got to buy no food. Everything is on us. I look at the menu. The food is $40 and $50 and $60. And I'm trying to say, she said, don't worry about the price. I said, no problem. Right? So I'm up there. So the conference is the next day. I'm in there with students all across the country from major universities. I'm the only black person there. I'm the only, I know for sure, addicts that's there. Right. So we planning a conference for disability students all across the country. Watch how NA kick in. Watch how you take these steps and traditions and being on service boards and committees like me and Irk and other people share about being in conventions and stuff like this. Watch how this stuff kick in, right? They planning a conference. They don't have a whole lot of ideas because all their knowledge is book sense. So they say, how are we going to put it together? We got panel meetings here. We got workshop speakers here. We could do a main speaker Friday night. We could do a main speaker Saturday night. Right? 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 Matter of fact, after the main speaker, we could do a dance. Right? I get an email the other day. Matter of fact, okay, you got to play to your audience. We're dealing with people with disabilities. Sherman, you don't just read NA literature. You read everything. You real broaden your information. You got to play to these people. What do they want? Okay, why not have the meeting at Gallaudet? Gallaudet is the only disability college. Oh, we love that idea. I get an email. The other day I read my email. The lady say, we need more people like you. Y'all fucking tell me the little boy hadn't grown up. So, Eric, I love this program. So, if you're new in here, I want to say this in closing. It's important for me to say this in closing. I'm not one of those people that tell people you ain't working on nothing. If you ain't shot no dope today, you worked on a lot. If you ain't smoked no coke today, you worked on a lot. Because the literature says that using for an addict is an abnormal state. No matter what happens, don't get high, and please, please, please keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.